Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brad Biggs is my guy, has been for a long time, covers the Bears since 2001. He is on the beat for the Chicago Tribune, and you hear him on 670, The Score, our sister station in Chi-Town as well. Biggsy, we're out and about today. Commanders fans are feeling good, 5-2, getting ready for football. How are you guys in Chicago?
We're doing well, but I got two questions before we get going here. One, I heard there's a Trotter jersey there. I want to know if there's an 85 Donnie Warren jersey there, because that would really get it going. And then you got to tell me, is our friend Mike Rizzo going to be able to write a check for Juan Soto this offseason?
All right, so twofold here. Now, you're showing some of those D.C. roots here, Biggsy.
That boy, Biggsy.
Number one, no on the 85 Warren. There should be one, but there isn't. Not yet. The day is young.
The day is young.
Two, okay. Does Juan Soto cost any money?
A lot of money.
Then the answer is no.
Then the answer will be no to that.
Just like that.
Yeah. If he costs more than, say, a couple million dollars, and I think he might, numbers approximate, then the answer is probably no.
I have a better chance of modeling for Calvin Klein this week than Juan Soto coming back here at $600 million.
But we're holding out hope. We're doing the Lloyd Christmas, so you're saying there's a chance.
I'm holding out hope because I think we're going to see Danny modeling here and Juan Soto in a Nats jersey wearing number 22.
I have been eating a lot of carbs lately, Brad, so maybe it'll.
Biggs, let's talk about Caleb Williams to start the combo, because this matchup was flexed for two reasons and two reasons only. Williams, Daniels. And we don't know if Jaden's going to play or not, which we can get to. But it does seem from afar like Caleb Williams has played a ton better over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, he's been lights out the last 3 weeks, completing 74% of his passes. They've reduced the turnovers. They've been super effective in the red zone, number three offense in the red zone over the entire season, not just the last 3 weeks. They have generated explosive passing plays downfield. He's done some damage with his legs, most recently against Jacksonville in the game over in London, and they have had rhythm and timing to the passing game that was a little more hit and miss earlier in the season when they had some issues up front with the offensive line. But you've looked at it, and the thing I've said is there's been production to come along with the promise. Like, the promise is the hope, you're projecting, you're looking at it, and you're saying, I think he can do this. Well, you've seen production. The Bears have had young quarterbacks in the recent past, Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky, where it was difficult to identify the production when you talked about the promise. And with Caleb, you've been able to see it. You've been able to see it quickly, and they've got a lot of confidence in the locker room because of it.
I think this defense is really good. The argument against here, Brad, talking about Chicago, the argument against it, though, is just like Washington of late, they've gotten fat on some pretty bad opponents. But I'm looking at a group that hasn't given up much in terms of points, and they've been effective, and they caused some turnovers. I think they're really good. Where are you at?
No, this is a really good defense. It's certainly, I would say, a top 10 defense. I don't know if you'd call it a top 5, maybe right now. You know, they've got to play some better opponents before I would go there. They've feasted on a really dysfunctional Jacksonville team. They beat up Carolina in much the same way the Commanders did. They played the Rams with Matthew Stafford having two hands tied behind his back. You know, no Cooper Kupp, no Puka Nacua. And those are three teams that have among the worst pass defenses in the entire league. So the Bears had – it was a good time for the Bears to meet those teams. The Bears' defense has improved. They've got young guys who continue to ascend. One question mark for this game, and I think it could be a focal point in this game, is the Bears' run defense. And if you just look at the numbers right now, they look pretty good. 11th in the league, giving up 112 yards a game, 21st in the league, 4.6 yards per carry. But those numbers are jumped significantly after they blew out the Jaguars. Jacksonville had 68 yards rushing in the game. It was a runaway. They were trying to play catch-up. They were throwing the ball. And so I think those numbers are a little inflated over what we've actually seen with that Bears defense this season, which has been a propensity to give up explosive plays on the ground. And if the Bears cannot shore that up against Washington, the Commanders could have something going no matter who is at quarterback on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, that's music to a lot of people who are listening's ears right now. Brad Biggs joins us covering the Bears on the beat for the Chicago Tribune. He's with us on Grant and Danny. On Caleb, I want to get your thoughts on this. Do you think if the Bears could hit a button and have taken Jaden Daniels right now, they would hit that button? The argument I was making on the show yesterday is, while Washington is thrilled with Daniels and he's outplayed Williams circuit to circuit this year, I think the Bears are probably super content. Their guy looks the part. He's ascending. You didn't make a draft pick for through Halloween. Like, I think there's a situation where maybe they're happy and Washington's happy and New England's happy, and maybe it all works out. But where are you at on that?
Yeah, I don't know about the Patriots being happy, but this is a unique situation where there's a possibility that the Bears and Commanders both hit. And when's the last time in the National Football League you saw quarterbacks go 1-2 and both teams came out of it smelling like roses? Now, I will say I think it's important to point out that these young quarterbacks are running what I would call parallel races. They're not running against each other. They're not competing against each other. And we're not going to be able to make a judgment at week 7 or week 8 or midway through next year. You know, if this turns out the way each franchise hopes, you're maybe making a call on this thing after year 7 or 8, right? Like, you're hoping to have this generational guy. A franchise quarterback doesn't just play out a rookie contract. A franchise quarterback gets, you know, that huge extension and then is a guy who has your team in the mix anyway to compete and chase a Lombardi trophy on a year-in, year-out basis. But I think the Bears would stick with the guy they got right now. Everything that you hear is really positive in terms of how Caleb has really emphasized, you know, personal relationships with people in the field team, the kind of stuff behind the scenes that goes along the way. And as I hear it,
I'm going to throw him on hold, Darius. Let's see if we can work out the phone. Brad's breaking up a little bit with us. Covers the Bears in Chicago. Something we talked about yesterday, because I think fans can struggle with this some, because there's such much pride taken in Daniels. He has been better. Put a period on that sentence. He's the rookie of the year right now. Put a period in that sentence. But it doesn't mean the Bears don't like the choice that they made. And Caleb Williams is trending in the right direction. What I want to ask him when we get him back on is, is he past some of the early season disaster stuff where he would scramble all over the place and take a loss of 19 or just try to extend plays and then throw the ball right into the belly of the D lineman? Is that stuff been coached out of him yet, or is it still there?
Yeah, I want to know about the development, right? I mean, my question when he comes back on is going to be about the evolution of this offense and Waldron's role in it, right? Like, how much is he catering to what Williams is doing or not doing as they've kind of grown together? Because it's been a lot different lately.
Brad, welcome back. Grant and Danny here on the Fan.
Yeah,
Brad Biggs.
Sorry about that.
No worries. Phone was breaking up a bit. So we were just kind of opining. Where are you at on this? Is Williams out of the phase of the beginning of the season where he would turn -7 sacks into like -16 doing silly rookie things or some of the terrible decisions? Has he left that behind?
Yeah, I think so. You know, you saw him a couple times at the very beginning of the season try to throw it in reverse when a play was going awry, okay, when he was trying to escape by going backward. And as you guys know, you can't pull that maneuver in the National Football League. Jaden Daniels could get away with that at LSU. Caleb could do that at USC or Oklahoma. That doesn't work on Sundays. And so he's ditched that. what he's done a much better job of lately, and this kind of goes hand in hand with me saying they've had better timing and rhythm in the passing game, is just seeing him climb the pocket more effectively, more consistently. So you've seen growth, and I think that's why both these franchises have to be super excited, because they've got guys in there who, by all accounts, are workers, who are well-liked early on in their career, and that stuff matters. You know, it really matters in the big picture, and it would be something for a pair of teams that have been searching for a quarterback for an awful long time.
Brad Biggs with the Sear on G&D Scout. The Opponent covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune. Brad, I want to ask about Shane Waldron's evolution here. I feel like the first three games, you could have had someone throw a dart at the play calling sheet, and it might have worked out equally as well. It seems like he's grown along with Williams here, and they're working together. The harmony that we've been sort of lucky enough to enjoy since week one here in Washington, talking about Kingsbury and Daniels kind of growing together. What's Waldron's role in all this in terms of development and finding stuff maybe that works a bit better?
Yeah, that's a good point, because at the beginning of the season, you watched the games and you kind of walked away from it and you said, I have no idea what they want to be offensively. Like, I can't tell what they're trying to do here. I don't know what the plan is. And, you know, I talked to people who know more about the game than me and who had watched it, and they kind of said the same thing. They're like, it looks like he's just calling a series of plays. Like, it was impossible to tell what they were trying to achieve. Like, what do you want to be? And they've been able to run the football more recently. At the beginning of the season, they couldn't run the ball a lick at all, and so that created some of the problems that they were having up front with protection. So they've been a lot more balanced of late. They need to get a little bit better on third down. They've been very poor in the first quarter this year, guys. They've got 10 points in the first quarter. And so everyone keeps asking Waldron week after week, and it's a fair question, why can't you start faster? What's the problem opening games? Well, it's real simple, guys. They're 3-for-16 on third down in the first quarter. So the lone touchdown drive in the first quarter this season was 70 yards, 7 plays, without a single third down. If you just go from first down to second down to first down to first down, that's a great way to move down the field. It doesn't happen that often. So if they can clean up some of the third down issues, which that's been a little bit of a problem all the way across the board, they haven't been great on third down as a whole, but as I said, really bad. They're 21st in the league on third down, 35.4%. But like I said, they're awful in the first quarter. They're like 18% on third down in the first quarter.
I live in a glass house, so take this stone lightly, please. But 4 wins against 4 pretty bad teams, right? The Titans, yeah. The Rams, the Panthers, the Jags. What is your answer when people mention that?
I think it's a fair point. It's a very fair point, you know, because you have to look at who they played. But I think the comeback for that is that they've blown a couple of these teams out, like absolutely manhandled them.
And that's literally the same thing I say about Washington,
yeah,
by
it's,
the
oh,
way.
Oh, the same deal, yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, who are they beating? I'm like, well, they beat the Browns 34-13. They beat the Panthers 40-7. I think you guys 36-10 them. It's kind of the same deal, right? They're killing the bad
right.
teams.
Like, which if you're a good football team and you're playing a bad team that has a ton of injuries, then that describes Carolina, right? What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to put them away and put them away early. And that's what the Bears did. So, okay. The story this season for Chicago will be told in the division. They don't have their first NFC North game until week 11 when they host the Green Bay Packers. As you guys know, the NFC North looks like the strongest division in football right now. There's not a single team below 500. Everybody's above 500, in fact. So it's going to be a dogfight in the North, and the Bears need to add as many chips to their table as they possibly can before that initial meeting with the Packers. So that starts with the – if we're looking at it right now, it starts with the trip to Washington on Sunday. Then they go to Arizona, and then they have a home game against that really bad New England team. So if the Bears somehow are 7-2 going into divisional play, I think they've got a shot to be in the playoff mix. Anything short of that, and it could be an uphill fight because Detroit looks nasty. Green Bay is very strong, and you know, Minnesota is no slouch of that Brian Flores defense.
Would Chicago rather face a healthy Marcus Mariota or a slightly watered down, maybe slightly injured Jaden Daniels?
I think if you're allowed to choose, you're probably taking Mariota, simply because I just don't think the, you know, and the sample size is really small off of his effort last week against Carolina, but the passing game didn't have the same rhythm and timing that it did when Jaden was playing, and unless Marcus can change that in 1 week, some of the stuff he was able to get away with and execute on against, a depleted and bad Panthers team is probably not going to be as effective against this Bears defense.
So two-parter. One, do you get the sense that they think Daniels is playing or not? And two, what's your prediction for the game?
I don't think they've spent a whole lot of time with it. You know, Montez Sweat was basically like, yeah, I don't control that, so I'm not even thinking about it. Like, from the Bears' perspective, Mariota is super athletic. Like, he can pull the ball down and run as well. So it's not like you're going from Jaden Daniels to some guy who's a statue in the pocket, right? These aren't guys with vastly different skill sets, and it's probably one of the reasons, though, why the Commanders built the depth chart the way that they did. So you can kind of have the same offense. So I don't think that's a big deal for them right now. You know, the Bears, they've got stuff they've got to tighten up on coming out of their bye, which, guys, they won coming out of their bye last year with an upset victory at Detroit. Prior to that, the Bears lost 11 straight years coming out of the bye. Like, wrap your mind around that. That's very hard to do. I picked the Bears to win this one because of the uncertainty in regard to Jaden Daniels. And I think that if you look at the four units that are going to be on the field Sunday, I'm talking about Commanders offense, Bears offense, Commanders defense, Bears defense. I think the Bears defense is by far probably the best of the four, and maybe has the biggest impact in the game, especially if the Commanders are in a position where they're going with the backup quarterback.
Brad, appreciate you, man. Thanks for the insight. Enjoy the weekend.
Take care, guys. Have a great weekend.
Good catching up, brother. We'll see you at the game. There's Brad Biggs, covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune. Love getting some thoughts from someone who covers the opponent, get to know the adversary before the game here on Grant and Danny. 3:45, about 25 minutes from now, we'll win off the field. It's Friday. 4 o'clock, the Beltway Blitz. But next, Commanders player props, some over-unders, and let's take the temperature of some of the members of our listening audience out here at Uptown Alley as it pertains to Washington, Chicago. You are listening to a field trip Friday on The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny. We are live at Uptown Alley in Manassas on 106.7 The Fan. We'll be taking you up to 6:30 today. Please come on by and say hello. Hang out with us. We are excited to meet up with listeners throughout this program. It's been fun to chat with folks who seem to be pretty fired up about the Washington Commanders. They're 5-2. They're getting to 6-2. And let's be honest, if the boys were there normal, 2-4, 2-5.
Yeah, they did the normal dance, right?
Probably would not be doing Friday field trip, but they're not. They're in first. They are surging. They've got a chance to remain in first for an extended period of time, and they are on the road toward 6-2. Generally, what we do right now is we predict the lines and play a little over-under with the FanDuel player props They have player props every single week going into games as to how they see the game playing out. FanDuel has no individual props right now for the Commanders because they don't know if Jaden Daniels is playing or not.
Yeah, they don't know. We don't know. There's, you know, maybe as soon as some market gets made, as soon as something goes up on the board, that'll be an indicator. But I generally think that there's 100% industry-wide uncertainty on what's going to happen.
So I want to hear from some folks that are on site here, in-house. Normally we take our calls at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. For the purposes of being out and about and live, I want to take the temperature of the people. What are your expectations for Sunday if Jaden Daniels plays versus if he doesn't? If he does play, we have reason to believe he'd be slightly, moderately maybe,
hampered
even if
slightly,
a little
yeah.
bit, compromised. But if he doesn't play, Marcus Mariota just led the boys to 30 points in three quarters against Carolina. Terrible defense. They're leveling up. They're playing a varsity defense. But you at least saw the offense operate without Daniels. So how would your expectations be hindered?
So I just think Chicago is a good defense. And that means it's not easy. Right now, that doesn't mean you can't move the football. It doesn't mean you can't score points against them. They're good enough on defense to beat up bad teams. Right, we've certainly seen that. They're good enough on defense to beat up teams that are okay as well, in my opinion. So this will be a great test for Washington's offense, certainly. Right, you know there might be more negative. You might have to, I don't want to say you call things more conservatively, but you know they might take away certain things. Like, are you sure that you want to do a straight? I'm just making this up. A straight 7-step drop, pat the football, see a double move happen, and try to sling it deep against Chicago? How comfortable would you feel for the pass rush or with the pass rush bearing down on you with this offensive line? I have no idea. You sort of have to read that kind of level of influence over what the Bears might be able to do to you. But you know, part of this, the other part is they've been able to stop the run pretty well. Have they been able to stop the best running game or the second best running game in the NFL? They haven't played Baltimore. They could, you know, we don't know if they could stop them. Can they stop Brian Robinson with a faked Austin Eckler or the potential Jaden Daniels keeping it? I mean, that's all kind of involved in this recipe here. So to me, I just don't. I don't think it's going to be one of those holy crap they scored 40 and never punted. I just don't see that.
Along the lines of what you're talking about, when Mariota played against Washington back with his last team, Atlanta, mm-hmm. they were still a pain to play.
Yeah.
They were hard to defend.
They're not fun.
And the reason was because of him rushing the football. And it's the same as like Justin Fields with the Steelers. There's not much of a threat of him making a whole lot of plays through the air. But I think you'd still have that. Because of the 11 runs they put on film, maybe by design, we kept wondering, why are they running so much with Marcus Mariota? Well, this is part of the reason why. All right, we are on site at Uptown Alley in Manassas. We've got Clary working the crowd mic here, so we will bring up some listeners to give us some thoughts. Start by telling us your name, where you're from.
Marcus from Triangle.
Marcus and Triangle, ladies and gentlemen.
Marcus from Triangle.
Making it out to the Grand Canyon Radio program. Wearing Commanders gear, Danny.
Yeah.
No less.
But Marcus is very nice.
Where are you at on the Commanders name, logo? You're all in?
No. I okay. love the old name.
Okay.
I love the old logo. I love the old uniforms. But I mean, I'm a fan of the team.
Of course.
And this is, we're the Commanders now, so.
Yes, you are.
I'm all in.
So I love that. We're stuck with it. Let me get a shirt.
Yeah. He's like, you're more like me than Danny. Danny won't say the name and hates it. You're like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, what are you supposed to do?
I'm a few steps below Danny. I'll say the name.
Yeah.
I don't love it, but I'll say it. I'll wear the gear, but I'm a step below Danny.
Mm-hmm. Got it. All right, so with that in mind, this game this weekend on Sunday. With Jaden Daniels as opposed to without him, how different are your expectations?
None. I expect us to win. Now, I hope Jaden plays, of course, but I would much rather him, if he's not 100%, rest him this week, next week, even another week if we have to. Because this is not about just winning this game or next game. This is about the whole season, next season, 5-10 years down the road. This guy is the real deal. I think we have a good shot to win this game, whether he plays or not. But if he's not ready, sit him out.
If I would have found you in August, though, can you imagine?
You imagine saying
like,
that in August?
Hey, they're going to be 5-2, and you might be confident they're going to get to 6-2 with or without him. That's how good they play.
That's how good I am now. But I will tell you this much right now. If I knew nothing about last week's game except Daniels got hurt in the first quarter and then the final score, I would have thought, oh, no.
Right.
We're back to
let
but
down.
That's not the case. It's a great game. The team played great. The coaching's great. I like what we're doing.
All right.
I feel very confident.
Appreciate that. Yep, very good. So confidence out in Manassas. Now, this is a fire shirt right here. This is a Hawaiian old school straight up Redskin shirt. But I've never seen that Hawaiian design.
And it's got every logo ever.
It also says Washington Commanders on it. So it's got the R. Oh, you're right. It's got every emblem ever. All right.
Oh, yeah, baby.
So what is that shirt?
This is a dedication to the generations of Redskins, Commanders, the football team fans.
Love it. From day one. How are you with the rebrand and the new name?
Say again?
Where are you at with the rebrand and the new name? Have you taken well to it? Do you like it? Have you come around on Commanders?
No, I live in the 80s, the 90s, where every year you're expected to make the playoffs. Every year you expect to have a winning record. I'm still stuck there.
Okay. He's still Joe Gibbs 1.0 is still his head coach.
Relatable.
Yeah, 1.0.
See, they don't know what it's like when you lost to go, that's
absolutely
fine. They go, it's fine. We'll be back. And we were. They don't understand.
Yeah.
They'll never get it.
Next year, there's always next year. And you know at the end of the season, the Redskins were battling for the division.
Every time.
Every single year.
Yeah, so here's what I know. As a guy who's in his mid-30s, my first memories are 2 years after their last Super Bowl, probably 3 years after. They've never done anything meaningful. My favorite team of all time for this organization is the 99 Redskins that almost got to the NFC Championship game.
Right.
Like, it's just such a different world. But that's an amazing shirt. So what's your name? Where are you from?
Tone. I'm from Bristow.
All right, Tone. So what are you thinking about this weekend, with or without Daniels?
So I'm thinking it depends on which Mariota shows up. Is it going to be the streaky Mariota that we've seen that's been moving from team to team, or the one that showed up this last Sunday?
You think that there might be some sustainability to how he played in this offense?
In this offense, yes.
Wow.
And I think a lot of has to do with the play calling that's going on right now.
Yeah.
You know, we're not making it too difficult for him. A lot of dump-off plays, being able to move the ball quickly. That's definitely Mariota's type of football.
Who's your favorite player on the team, non-quarterbacks? So, current players, who's your favorite guy?
Luvu.
Frankie. Frankie's a fan favorite.
Frankie's a fan favorite.
All right, very good. Good prediction.
Thank you, Tom.
Like thank you. All right, we got ourselves a Commanders Terry McLaurin. Now, this looks like the military-grade kind of tan jersey. I like that look.
You like it?
I do. Name and where you're from?
Chris, and I'm from Manassas. Been here for about 5 years.
Very, very cool. That's why we came
We're
out.
We're in Manassas.
To meet our listeners at Uptown Alley. Yeah. That's right. Have you been here before?
Yes, been in Uptown Alley. Yep, great place. Got to go by and check it out.
Vibes are good. All right, so what is your prediction for this weekend?
Honestly, I think it's going to be the same play calling. So I'm kind of expecting the same thing. Like, if you remember last week when Mariota went in, his first play was a running play. So it's like kind of expecting the same play calling, expecting the same thing.
Do you think Jaden's out, it sounds like? You don't expect him to play?
Honestly, I want him to play, you know, just from a fan thing. I think the NFL also wants him to play, you know, because number two versus number one.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think he is going to play.
So how does that change things? Like, does it lower your expectation then?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't change things, man. I think we still can come out with a W.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you
Love
for coming
it.
Out.
Thank you, bro.
I will say this. Last week in Leesburg, we had a segment right at the end of the show where we took a bunch of predictions, and we'll do the same today. And maybe it was because it was at the end of the show, close to 7 o'clock.
Adult sodas consumed.
People had been drinking all day long. But everyone was predicting ridiculous scores, and we will get to this later. But it was like 34-10, 40-13, 37-20. And we're kind of going, people are way too confident.
Pump the brakes here, guys.
Yes, they're going to beat Carolina, but you guys are ridiculous. Nobody called it to the lopsided extent that it was, 40-7.
Yeah.
All of the lofty expectations.
And it easily could have been worse. Easily.
Were surpassed. You know, met and then surpassed. Absolutely amazing what this team's been doing offensively. And I thought last week was Cliff Kingsbury's moment, because for all of the Jaden Daniels is carrying him in the line and everybody, you know, the running backs, the receivers. Now Daniels is out for three quarters. They could have easily sputtered to a 23-13 win. They just kept moving the football. Tressway still was just holding. He punted once all day. I thought that was the biggest moment for Kingsbury of this season, to do what he did without Jaden Daniels.
Again, we talk about this all the time, right? But it's validating. When you have a previous sample, then you go, yeah, but. When you take away the but, so to speak, and you still are excellent, you go, okay, that actually means what we saw was real, right? You move the ball against, you know, Arizona. Okay, fine. You scored a bunch of points. So what? We did it against Cleveland, good defense. Okay, well, then you do it without Jaden Daniels. So it tells you that there's something going on here besides the miracle man.
3:45 on a Friday means we win off the field. We will do that next. If you want to tell us what little thing has gone well in your day, you can call us at 800-636-1067 going into the weekend next. That's 800-636-1067 at the top of the hour. The Blitz around the Beltway live from Manassas. Come join us. We're here at Uptown Alley until 6:30. Grant and Danny on the Fan. It is Friday on Grant and Danny. We're closing in on 4 o'clock in the Beltway Blitz. It is time to figure out how you are winning off the field. This is a very simple concept.
Yep.
You don't do this for us.
Mm-mm.
And you don't do it for yourselves.
Nope.
You do it
who?
For a goose. The goose of all geese. Bruce Allen once said these words out in Ashburn.
We're winning off the field, but we got to start winning on the field.
And so this many years later, so that nobody ever forgets.
We should never forget.
Because we won't forget. Not here. Not at Uptown Alley in Manassas.
Not up in here.
We went off the field. Moral victories. Many little things that make you smile nobody else would care about. Things like you put on a sweatshirt you haven't worn since last autumn, and there was a dollar bill folded up, kind of hardened, crisp dollar bill in your pocket. Therefore, you would be.
Winning off the field.
Maybe you got into your car and there was one piece of gum left
in
your gum packet.
Gum packet.
You thought maybe you'd have to stop and get new gum, but you didn't because there was one piece left.
Yep.
Therefore, you would be.
Winning off the field.
Danny, I'm sure you're winning off the field today.
I am. I actually have a great example. If you guys will indulge me, it's kind of a double. Is that okay? I mean, have we allowed that before in previous times? Feels like it's something I can do, right? Go double. Here it is. I forgot a belt. I don't have a belt on. I don't like that feeling. It's weird, but I don't have a belt on. But my pants are still up. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
And
sans
because
belt,
of that.
No
yeah,
less.
Without a belt. And the pants are still on. They don't just fall down to the ground. And the second what-if, if I may, is one of my favorite comedians of all time, a guy named Mitch Hedberg, rest in peace, who had a tremendous bit that he did on television one time where he said, my pants are supporting my belt, but my belt keeps my pants up. Who is the real hero down there? I want to know who's doing the work. And reminded me of that, and I smiled today. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
That's what we
got. Boy. There are crispy buffalo wings
They're
being
here.
Brought over to us as we speak at Uptown Alley.
Right now.
Therefore, we are.
Winning off the field.
Let's get to the phones. See how Kevin in Arlington is winning off the field.
Kev
on Grant and Danny. What's up, Kev?
Happy Friday, boys. So I had this deliverable due by 5. I skipped lunch. I got knocked out by about 2:30. And, you know, my wife works long hours, so I do the cooking, particularly on weekends. But since I took a late lunch, I was able to do the bratwurst on the grill, feed my youngest son who lives with us. And now we're all set to do some serious binging on what is supposed to be the best new show on Netflix. It's called This Is the Zodiac Speaking. If you know anything about the Zodiac case, you got to tune in. But therefore, I am
winning off the field.
Kev, did that just drop on Netflix? As Mr.
Did.
True
oh my
Crime.
God. And I believe me, I was blown away. You just will not believe it, okay?
Wow.
I've started it. It's amazing what you will learn, what is new. Uh-oh. I don't want to give it away. It's incredible.
Please don't. I can't wait to see it. It's Zodiac Speaking, right? That's the new one?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Wait till you see it.
I can't wait.
I haven't seen all of it yet, but We're going to be in the second half.
That's going to skip the line for me. Thank you, buddy.
It might jump in front of the queue.
I've got a couple things in the queue that I need to get to. I still want to watch the Vince McMahon documentary
on
Netflix.
It's really good.
But this will skip. As you know, other than a whodunit, I'm not just whodunit Paulson. I'm not just Mr. Maui Pineapple Chicken. I'm true crime Paulson as well.
That is true.
Rich is an only
Richard.
On Grant and Danny. Hello, Richard.
What's going on, boys? How you feeling?
Hey, Bodic.
How you winning off the field, sir?
So I coached my son's soccer team, so practice ended and, you know, didn't really feel like cooking. So I went over to the food truck, it was a taco truck, got three meals, six tacos, one for each of my kids, one for my wife, three for me. And they were giving away churros with every meal. So got three free churros with the tacos. Therefore, I was.
Winning off the field?
Free churros, a pretty good day, my guy.
That's not bad.
Can do a whole lot worse than that.
That ain't bad right there. Mind your business,
you sleep
get free
on churros.
I think I have the appropriate evaluation of the churro. You just got introduced to Mexican food like 48 hours ago.
That's a good point.
All right, so I would settle down throwing stones when your whole residence is made of glassware. You know
but I do like a dessert food.
Well, that is true.
That so is I've true. Known about churros for some time. Let's go to Andrew in Damascus on Grant and Danny. Andrew, we are in Manassas, not Damascus.
Very different.
You're in the wrong place. What's good?
A lot is good. It's Friday. I am in the wrong place. I would love to be with you guys, but I had a great Friday because we are at the end of the quarter, and I'm a middle school math teacher. I had a student today. His grade is literally like 89.4, and he's begging to get the A. Mm-hmm. He happens to be a student that gets a little bit on my nerves. I made him a deal. I said, look, man, I can change your grade at any moment. I could do it right now. Or maybe you could, you know, ease up a little today. Give me an easy day in the classroom, and that 0.5 could fall back in your lap. And wouldn't you know, we had a very pleasant second period today in algebra, so I was very much
winning off the field.
I like that.
Yeah.
Dangle that carrot.
Right.
See where it takes you.
Stick for some, carrot for others. You went carrot, you got yourself an easy Friday.
That is how you win off the field, Danny.
That's how you do it.
Grant and Danny on the fan. We are in Manassas. We'll be here until 6:30. You can come on out, hang at the bar. Delicious cold beverages, excellent food we've been munching on throughout the day. It's been a really fun show, and we are leading up to the weekend and another Commanders game. They're 5-2, trying to get to 6-2. This is our Friday field trip series. We will also be revealing a little later in the show where we're going to be next Friday. We're 2-for-2 so far.
That's
we got to keep the streak alive. We will tell you later in the show where we'll be. You're listening to G&D on The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.